All right, we're going to get started with the last portion of the developers conference. We're going to start this section with the MIPI Automotive and AFI update. Matt Ronning, Director of Engineering from Sony Corporation and Chair of the MIPI Automotive Working Group, and Raj Kumar Nagpal, Senior Staff Engineer with Synopsys and Vice Chair of the PHY Working Group, will be doing the presenting. Matt is Director of Engineering at Sony Corporation and serves as the Chair for the MIPI Automotive Working Group. He's making significant steps in leading the group that provides input and coordination on requirements to ensure MIPI is addressing the needs of the automotive industry. Raj Kumar is Senior Manager at Synopsys and serves as Vice Chair of the MIPI-PHY Working Group and Chair of the AFI and DFI subgroups. Raj has more than 25 years of research and development experience in various fields of electronics, including RF engineering, high-speed serial links, signal integrity, power integrity, and product validation. If you need a question answered around those topics, Raj will be more than happy to give you an answer. All right, let's welcome them to the stage and give them a nice round of applause.
Well, thank you very much, Roy, and it's an honor to be here and present on this topic. As Roy mentioned, my name is Matt Ronning. I work for Sony, and I'm also the Automotive Work Group Chair for the MIPI Alliance. Okay, so we're talking automotive today. MIPI Alliance is typically associated with excellence in terms of in-phone interfaces for the mobile industry. However, recently the MIPI Alliance has made a decision to expand into automotive. Automotive looks a lot like a mobile phone, although much bigger, of course, but there's also, so there's some key similarities, lots of sensors, a central CPU, display, but there's also some key differences that I think you guys have heard about a little bit earlier in today's afternoon session, for example, functional safety. But if you just step back and look at the automotive industry, there's a huge transformation happening. It's like a perfect storm kind of situation. And there are a lot of factors that are driving automobiles to be redesigned completely. One of the things that you're seeing, that you have been seeing over the last couple of years, is something called New Car Assessment Program, NCAP. That's a worldwide effort to improve the safety of cars. Some of the kinds of systems that are being rolled out under NCAP include things like collision warning systems, lane departure warning, backup cameras, that kind of thing. All of those are electronics. All of those are image sensors or automotive radars or LIDARs, other sensors, usually very high data rate devices that need to talk to a central computer. In addition to the new car assessment program, though, there's also other government initiatives such as aggressive fuel economy standards. Those are having a big impact on the design of cars. We also have electrification of cars. We have new types of automotive OEMs coming online. In some cases, these new automotive OEMs actually believe that the lifetime of a car will be as little as 2 years because it'll be utilized more than 80% of the time, as opposed to personal vehicles, which are actually used maybe only 5% of the time. And then finally, also in connection with 5G kinds of efforts, you also see car connectivity. So those are some of the huge changes that are happening, and I'll say a few things about some of them. So I already mentioned NCAP. NCAP is driving huge numbers of sensors being added to cars. If you listen to some of the industry experts, There's projections that next generation autonomous vehicles will have as many as 10 image sensors on them, several automotive radars and potentially LIDARs, potentially going to as many as 20 sensors. And then the cars of tomorrow and of the future may have multiple supercomputer class ECUs within them, eventually going to a single supercomputer with a strong connectivity to a cloud-based supercomputer capability. I mentioned fuel economy standards. If you look across the industry, just as an example of some of the changes, some of the impact of these fuel economy standards, if you were to take the mirrors off the side of your vehicle, so your side mirrors, you could save 5 to 7% in terms of fuel economy. It's surprising, but actually that can happen. So this has actually caused a lot of governments, including Japan and Europe, and potentially the US in the future, to start looking at side mirror replacements with cameras, and then with displays on the inside of the vehicle, so that you don't have something interacting and causing increased drag of the vehicle. That's just an example. I mentioned that the sensors have some pretty high data rates associated with them. In the case of image sensors, somewhere in the range of 3 to 10 megapixel kinds of range, you're looking at up to 10 gigabits, 5 to 10 gigabits per second kind of data rates. In addition, potentially automotive radars could be even higher data rate than that. There's a transition that's happening right now. Right now, automotive radars are kind of fully enclosed units with a lot of the processing local to the radar. Automotive radars of the future will be transitioning to more dumb sensors, so basically antennas with an A to D sending all the data back to the supercomputer for processing by the supercomputer, which will obviously drive up the raw data rate significantly. And what MIPI Alliance has currently been targeting is four-channel units, which may peak out at around 5 gigabits per second. But if you look at the higher data rates associated with 16-channel, you might see as much as 20 gigabits per second. So this could be a driving factor for the design of interfaces. So I had mentioned autonomous driving. And as I'm sure many of you are engineers and you've looked at autonomous vehicles, what is an autonomous vehicle, you know, really look like if you boil it down to a block diagram? Well, of course, you're going to have location types of devices like GPS. You're also going to have lots of cameras. I mentioned 9 to 18, somewhere in that range. Automotive radars, LIDARs right now are a little bit on the expensive side, but they bring a lot of capabilities to autonomous vehicles. And of course, even some low-rate sensors like ultrasonics are out there. All of those are going to a fusion processor. That processor may end up sending some data down to displays, which are based on instrument cluster displays. Those also can be very high data rate. So if you look at the data rates associated, the very high data rates associated with this kind of autonomous driving system, it really comes down to cameras, radars, and the displays at this point. There are the possibility of some other systems, such as black boxes for accident recording, and other storage units within the car that could also drive data rate, but this is a good example of what to think about in terms of data rates. So why MIPI in automotive? Well, basically we've been asked by automotive OEMs to take a look at this. Right now, the interfaces associated with sensor systems going to ECUs tend to be based on proprietary solutions. These proprietary solutions are not interchangeable. There's a variety of aspects that make them not interchangeable. And for automotive OEMs, that presents a problem because they may have two ECUs, electronic control unit boxes, that may need to talk to each other, but one tier one who supplies ECU, the first ECU, may have chosen a different proprietary interface from the tier one that made the other box. And so that's an issue. Obviously, standardization is going to solve that solution. And also, it could make things considerably easier for OEMs and tier ones to choose the correct solution. This slide also includes and compares what MIPI Alliance is doing to automotive Ethernet, and I'm sure many of you have heard about automotive Ethernet. Actually, MIPI Alliance believes that we're quite compatible with automotive Ethernet, and we're not competitive. We believe that there will be both automotive Ethernet systems out there. There's many other interfaces, but there's going to be a need for very high-speed interfaces that are optimized for asymmetrical data transfer with the lowest power and lowest complexity that potentially doesn't match exactly what the features of automotive Ethernet. So if I were sitting out in the audience and I heard that MIPI Alliance was thinking about transitioning from mobile handsets interface design to automotive, maybe one of the first questions I would ask is, how different are those markets, and do the engineers in MIPI Alliance really know what they're doing whenever it comes to that? There's actually about 50 differences between consumer devices and automotive devices. As I mentioned earlier, one of the key differences is functional safety that oftentimes can require a complete redesign of anything that you're thinking about targeting for mobile handsets needs to be redesigned for automotive. But it's not just that, too. Most people are aware there's different temperature standards, there's different QAs, there's different qualification procedures, also lifetime planning. The length of use is much longer in automobiles, that kind of thing. So MIPI Alliance understands those. The automotive work group has experts, functional safety experts, which we use quite a bit to make sure that everything we're designing meets functional safety as well as other automotive requirements. So what have we been doing? We've taken about 3 years to develop our first requirements document and then also begin the process of finishing the specification for the AFI specification that would support this high-speed automotive interface. We've gone through multiple iterations of the requirements document. We took about 6 to 9 months off to actually do a lot of EMC studies, which I'll say a few more words about in a little bit. That turned out to be quite necessary. And now we're at the point where we've got a final version of the automotive requirements document, which Raj's group is actually executing to. I mentioned EMC testing. EMC is a big factor in automotive cable harnesses. Actually, it's interesting, if you look at cable harnesses, they're one of the most expensive devices from a manufacturing point of view in the car. They're also quite significant in terms of weight. So anything that you can do to reduce the weight, the cost, whether that's in terms of materials or assembly costs would be quite useful. And the fact that you have a lot of cables bundled together, you potentially have crosstalk, you may be running those cable harnesses close to a starter, which has potentially large induced current in the shields of those cables, et cetera. And so a lot of testing was done in Japan, primarily at Murata's very good shield room, really large shield room. Also with Shikoku Cable, Rosenberg of Japan, and MD Electronics supporting that effort too. As I mentioned, this was a big effort. We document this a lot. We think we have some interesting conclusions, and we're designing our interface to support this. Let me just conclude by saying that as I mentioned, my group is the Automotive Working Group. Our job was to create a requirements document. We've done that and now handed that off to Raj, and AWG is now in a mode where we're looking at potentially higher speed devices and maybe some next generation devices also. So this is a summary of some of the requirements that we came up with: bit error rate, ASIL D level support. The systems should be designed to support ISO EMC requirements. That's where we're at right now. So I think that probably does it. So Raj, maybe I turn it over to you.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Okay. So as Matt has already given an introduction, so AutoPHY is basically very different PHY from our backplane PHY, and maybe PHYs which we are using in mobile phones. So there are two main differences between AutoPHY and mobile PHY. So AutoPHY is basically a PHY which will be used in automotive applications. So there are two attributes which are associated with automotive PHY. One is that it is a long reach. So generally this is in the terms of maybe like 15 meter, okay? Automotive means every automotive, small, long, all kind of vehicles. So the length targeted in the specification stage is 15 meter. There are two kind of channels. One is maybe coaxial and another is differential, shielded differential pair. And the objective of automotive 5 is to be tolerant to all the noisy EMC constraints which actually appear in an automotive environment. And basically automotive 5 is targeted for all the sensor interface applications like maybe camera, radar, lidar, display, all sensor applications, this AutoPHY is targeted. So that's the very big objective, and basically wherein that MIPI is actually going towards. So MIPI is moving beyond mobile applications. So automotive is the very first application, and physical layer and maybe corresponding protocol layers are targeted for automotive applications. Okay, so this is a very top level overview of automotive environment, how various sensors are interconnected and what physical layers are getting used in them. So maybe if you see, we are really all the sensors like today you have got for a DSI or CSI, which is basically a mobile environment, you're basically using C5 and D5, okay? And for basically in future, in the automotive environment, for sensors for which people are using C5 and D5, they will have one more alternative, which is A5. And with the different attributes as I shared. So all the sensors, camera, display, radar, and lidars, all on the same protocol layers, CSI, DSI, which are there with mobile environment, will be getting used in automotive environment. So MIPI stand in a favorable position to really just develop one physical layer and use all the existing protocol layers of the mobile environment and really offer a complete solution to the industry in terms of handling all kind of sensors, okay? So this is one. So this is basically maybe coexistence of maybe how in an automotive environment all the sensors and all the electronics is present. It is here sharing that where A5 is going to take its slot, all camera, radar, lidar applications will have a domain ECU. For other applications, you can still live with the legacy physical layers, okay? And all display applications for the infotainment will be taken by Automotive Phi. Otherwise, this is a complete typical automotive, you know, electronic, you know, system which is there in present cars. So basically, there are few differences in Automotive Phi. Automotive Phi is basically a high-speed, asymmetric Phi, full duplex. Okay, so that means it is, it will have a simultaneous forward and reverse traffic movement. So there will be a data transfer in forward and reverse direction, as well as there will be power over data line supported for the coaxial cable. So it is just like your ECU can handle a camera all requirements through this physical layer. You don't need any dedicated additional hardware to handle your interfaces. So this is exactly this slide is showing here. Okay. So it is sensor unit, this is basically ECU, this is all physical layer, okay. This physical layer is having power also, and this is going to be the role of, this will be actually taken over by FI. So if this is basically a slide which is giving you a typical sensor to ECU interface, and what are the layers which come in the implementation starting from ECU, wherein you get a protocol adoption layer. This adoption layer is a term which is being used especially in FI. FI basically is going to have an maybe sort of APPI interface, like in people who are aware of DFI and CFI, there's a PPI interface. In FI also we are having APPI interface, which is not exactly same, but it will be similar. And on the APPI interface, you are going to have data link layer, and adoption layer will be very common, like adoption layer will be basically for camera display and for maybe I3C. This adoption layer will be very generic. It will be very specific to the protocol targeted. Data link layer will be able to talk to any protocol by redesigning this adoption layer. So this is the complete, you know, interface link. This is your physical layer. This is your channel. And that's the targeted application domains where AFI is going to play a role. So AFI basically is going to have a maybe long channel support. And when you have long channel, it is bringing in a lot of complexities to handle a long channel. Very first thing is the high insertion loss, poor return loss, okay? So you are going to handle this thing. And then when you have a high insertion loss, then your architecture, your ISI is high, you have to handle ISI also. And since this cable is going through a very noisy environment, so there will be a lot of noise coupling which will happen on the channel, and your basically the physical layer need to handle all the noise couplings which might be, you know, clubbing with the signal, desired signal, and you need to really filter them out. And AFI has got all the capability to filter out or cancel out all the noise which can come in an automotive environment. And this is basically the topology of the targeted channel which you know, AutoFi will support. Both this is coaxial and this is differential. Okay. Okay. So basically, AFI is targeted today for 2 to 16 gigabit per second, okay, but it is going to be scalable to 24, 48, and even 96 gigabit per second in future applications. So this is actually MIPI starts developing any specification. It has got a long roadmap, and it is a scalable PHY. All the architecture decisions which we take at lower frequencies, like 2 to 16, are adaptable to higher data rates also. So this is all, it is going to be a scalable, and then although I'm calling it AutoFi, but you can use it to IoT applications, any application which basically require your maybe long reach, you know, high speed SerDes data communication are very much the candidate for AFI. Okay. So basically, AutoFi is actually targeted for two kind of markets. One is low cost and another is high performance. So Low cost means you get minimum area where you can implement the architecture, and low power also. Okay, so basically today most of the applications are in the market using profile one from multiple, you know, vendors without standardization. So the industry is driving towards standardizing this physical layer specification, and we are actually breaking it in two profiles, profile one and profile two. Profile one is what you really see today. It is all NRZ, and it has got actually we are actually developing AFI into gear, like gear 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and these gears are having defined data rates. And for gear 1, 2, and optionally for gear 3, we are targeting profile 1. And profile 2 is basically for gear 3, 4, 5 onward. And basically, profile 2 is basically PAM based, PAM 4, 8, and 16 based modulation. And profile 1 is NRZ, normal backplane 5 kind of architecture. Okay. So this is what I just shared, the raw data rates. And there will be some percentage overhead will you have to reduce for the effective throughput. It is a raw data rate which is basically targeted at the physical layer. Okay, there will be some overhead because of packetization and other aspects. Okay, basically in the I just shared with you, AFI has got like a full duplex, so forward direction is basically here. This is maybe you say downlink, and uplink is basically here. Okay. So uplink means reverse communication. So I have already shared it is asymmetric optimized architecture. So asymmetric because in a vehicle you don't need a full duplex, because the need is only you need full duplex, but no, don't need equal data rate, full asymmetry you don't need. You need an asymmetric PHY. So this is an asymmetric PHY, and most of the protocols which we use in mobile environment are going to be used in automotive environment also. And basically the hardware protocols which exist with C-PHY and D-PHY will be reused in A-PHY with some modifications. Okay, modification will happen at the adaptation layer primarily. So basically, one of the very important why we went for profile 1 and profile 2 is because we want to be cost conscious, because in automotive environment it is performance versus the cost, and you need to really offer solutions which go and penetrate the market today, which is basically not very high data rate, but you are going to be very cost conscious. So that is what is basically an architecture we target for profile 1. And of course, for scalability and high performance, we have got an architecture too. And so all the architecture decisions are taken with that perspective in mind. So flexible link layer, because any protocol layer you can adapt with the design of your, you know, adaption layer. And adaption layer is getting designed for MIPI, all the protocols we are providing. All the adaption layer, even for display port also, there is an adaption layer targeted. The same physical layer we are offering to display port also. So this PHY is very EMC, high EMC compliant, both radiation and emission and susceptance. So it is actually meeting all the ISO standards which are today visible in all the EMI EMC compliance of automotive modules. We are targeting to respect those. And for more information, you can look at all these, you know, application notes, white papers, which are available in the public domain. And you can really, it is all produced by MIPI groups for the public, you know, information and maybe adoption of this particular, you know, physical layer in the automotive environment. So I finish here, and we are available, both of us, for any questions you have.
Hello.
Is this working?
No. Okay, good. Now it's working. Any questions for Raj and Matt?
Thank you for the presentation. As someone who's worked on automotive cameras, this is very exciting stuff. So I had two questions. One was the cable results, SI study results. Are those available in any of these white papers? The one that you mentioned with Sony, Murata, and Rosenberger?
So actually, no, not we're not widely distributing those right now. Okay. So we're looking at that right now.
Okay, and the second one was that I saw there was retransmission as one of the profile B or profile 2 specs. So would that require memory on the sensor side?
Yes, it will require memory, yes.
Okay.
Any additional questions? Here in the front row.
Thank you for your presentations. So this is the basic questions from me. FI will be integrated in image sensor or as a bridge IC?
Or
a bridge IC, discrete IC?
No bridge. It will directly, like basically in a sensor, you get a protocol layer and then physical layer. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it is going to be same device. Like whosoever is making a sensor will give you sensor supporting this physical layer.
Okay, I understand. Thank you very much.
So basically, for your system integration, you will get direct module as it is, and you need to just take your channel and use it. Your if you are designing ECU.
We've got time for one more question. No? All right then. Raj, Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you.